You alone are worthy to be worshipped and adored and praised. Father, we ask that you would touch us, help us, heal us, deliver us. Father, we thank you right now for what you're doing in our life and what you're about to do. We thank you for the days ahead according to your will, the blessings that you have in store for us, that our eyes haven't seen and our heart haven't understood. We thank you that by your Spirit you revealed it to us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who guides us and gives us what belongs to you. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that cures, that cleanses, that covers and connects us to you. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that strengthens and sustains us today and each and every day. We thank you, Lord. Father, we ask that you would continue to bless us, and that we thank you that you looked over the celestial banners of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. We thank you, Lord, that you've given me the anointing that makes preaching easy. Father, we thank you right now, Lord God. With precision, Lord God, you've made my tongue to be able to speak. Father, you've made my mind ready, and you've given me clarity of thought, and I thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And Father, after you've healed, delivered, after you've set free, after you've saved, after you've done all you want to do in this service, Lord, we'll be careful to give you the glory, honor, and the praise. And we will join with the many-winged seraphim, the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you're holy, you're holy, God, you're holy, and your glory fills the earth. We thank you now, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Giving you this title, Follow Jesus. And subtitle is How to Be a Real Christian. Amen. How to be a real Christian. But if I don't live like Christ here and I die, I lose something. Come on and say amen. Oh, hallelujah. I gain eternal life. I gain heavens. I gain becoming a Lord because he becomes Lord of Lord. I gain becoming a king because he's the King of Kings. Oh, come on and say amen. But if I don't live like him, then I find myself in a place that I don't want to be in. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, so we ought to suffer. And when we suffer, the Bible tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter, that we are the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that which shall be revealed in us. And what are you saying, preacher? I always say this, that this means that the suffering that I go through is not even worth mentioning in the same sentence or paragraph of what God is going to do in my life. I know God's got something great for me, so I'm not going to keep complaining about my suffering and what I've been through and how bad it's been. What I'm going to do is tell you that I'm still here in spite of whatever it is. What I'm going to tell you is I'm forgetting those things which are behind. I'm reaching forth to what's before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call in Christ Jesus. Am I boring you today? We need to press toward the mark. We need to do all we can to get to what God wants us to be, to have the thing that God wants us to have. What do he really want us to have? He wants us to have Christ in our heart so we can have eternal life, so that when he looks at us, he don't look at us and say, you know, you are that liar, you're that backbite, you're that drunk, you're the drug addict, you're this, or you're the former that. No, he wants to look at us and see Christ. He don't look at us to look and see who we are. He said, I want to see the life of Christ. I want to see you covered by the blood. When he sees me through the blood. That's why I'm able to keep going every day. That's why I'm able to get up in the morning and shake off whatever mess I was in yesterday and say, today is a new day. I have new mercies today. I am walking in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do I have any witnesses here? But when I suffer, when I go through, suffering is not to destroy me. Suffering is only to help me to be more like him. Paul said in the Philippians, he tells us, he says that I have not apprehended that which has apprehended me. But he said, I want to keep going. I want to know him. How? I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Because if I know him in suffering, I know him in the resurrection.
And so if I die, I want to be able to get up again. And so if I go through my suffering, I know that I'll be all right, that I'm going to resurrect from this thing. I know that I'm going to get up from where I've been. I know all the dirt, they might have thrown dirt on you, but guess what? You'll get up from the dirt. They might have covered you up. They might have wrote you off. They might have said, ain't nothing can be done in man's eye with you. But God is saying, yes, something can be done in his eye. With God, all things are possible. He can pick you up. He can change your life. He can turn you around. Do you believe that today? I believe that God can. No matter where you find yourself, you need to look up to God, and God will bring you up. David said, he picked me up out of the miry clay, placed my feet on a rock. Wish I had somebody to preach to. Oh, hallelujah. We need to get to a place in life that no matter where we are, the steps of a good man are ordered by God, and he delighted in his way. In other words, my start, stops, and stages. Whatever I'm going through, God ordained it. God put it in my life. Quit saying I shouldn't have turned that way. I shouldn't have went down that street. You know what? You learn something by going down that street. And so since you learn something, take what you learn and go to the other street. Oh, come on and say amen. Quit looking back at, I wish 20 years ago I would have went to school and did this. Well, no, you didn't. So forget what you didn't do. If you want to go now, go. But if you don't, live. Come on and say amen. Come on and say hallelujah. We need to get to a place that we quit looking back, and so that we can press forward to what God has for us. I want some help in here today. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to suffer. But people don't tell you that when you come to Christ. They want to tell you that if you come, everything will be all right. Let me tell you something. If you come, the devil going to be at you even more. Let me tell you that if you come, people are going to lie on you, talk about you. They're going to wait to see you make a mistake so they can say, uh-huh, I told you they wasn't about nothing. Let me tell you, that's the truth. You're going to suffer some gossip. You're going to suffer some lies. You're going to be talked about. The devil's going to try to put tricks and traps in your way. He ain't going to face you because he know you look like Christ. And so he's not going to stand in your face. But he'll put tricks and traps along the way to trip you up. He'll put people in your life to get you off track. Oh, hallelujah. You're going to have that in your life if you decide to follow Christ. But let me tell you, I'd rather have Christ and have suffering with Christ than not to have him. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah. If I suffer by myself, there's no telling what might happen. But guess what? If I'm with him, he's able to deliver me. If I'm with him, he said, take my yoke upon you. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do I have anybody to say I'm locked in with him? Oh, yeah. I'm yoked up with Christ. You know what? And since I'm yoked up with him, he gave me an anointing, and the anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing takes away the burden. And so even though I might have a burden, his shoulders are big enough to carry my burden for me. He's my burden bearer. Heavy load sharer. Oh, hallelujah. Praise his name. We need to follow him. Amen. Oh, let's go on a little further. He says, take up your cross and follow me. For whosoever shall lose his life, whosoever shall save his life will lose his life. Verse 25, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. In other words, there's a sacrifice to be made. There's a sacrifice of your life. There's a sacrifice of your soul. He says in verse 26, and I'm almost done, for what profit a man that he gain the world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You really don't have anything that you can exchange for your soul, because your soul is not yours to give. But we think that it's ours. We think that it belongs to us. The reason why you are a soul is because God gave you that soul. He said the spirit came together with the flesh and they produced, and man became a living soul, and that is a gift of God. The word soul here is translated life. He said, what can you exchange for your life? We need to say that ain't gonna be no exchanges here. You know how you go to those, you know, most time it's at those Asian stores, they say no refunds here. No, come on and say amen. We can't get, you can't go and say, hey, I want my money back. No, that's what it is. When you start giving your soul to the devil is not looking to give it back to you. He's just like them. He said, no, you ain't going to get no refund here. You can get something else of equal value, but you can't get no refund here. So you can't get back what you gave me so that you can make it work and make it bigger. See, you can take that stuff that you buy and you can't multiply it. It won't increase. But you can take that money and you can invest it and it can what? Increase. So if you keep your life can increase. But if you exchange your life for something, that's all you get. preach anyway. That's all you get. You exchange it for it, and that's all you can have. But if you keep your life in line with God and you stay with him, then whatever you can put your life into, God said that your life will make it greater. Why? In Psalm number 1, he said, whatsoever you do it, you shall what? Prosper. Anything you put your hand to do, God said you'll prosper. Why are we walking in disbelief and why are we walking in doubt when God said that whatever I do, it'll prosper. Come on and say amen. But when I look at this, we have to learn how to sacrifice. And there are some sacrifices that should be made. We need to learn how to give our life. And when we are givers, and remember I said a few weeks ago, instead of us being go-getters, let's be go-givers. And when we become go-givers, God will give unto us. He says, more blessed to give than it is to receive. He said, give and it shall be what? Given, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall other men give into our bosom. And when I think about that, I think about all those pine straws I used to have to rake up every day where I lived at when I was a boy. We had pine trees all over the place. I don't have a tree in my yard now probably because of that. We had pine trees everywhere, and the pine trees, I'm telling you, the straws would fall, the pine straws would fall down as I'm raking, and it looked like nothing to be done. My brother would come home and he'd say, boy, you ain't done nothing today, and I burned, looked like 6 sacks of pine straws, and he'd tell me, you don't look like you did nothing, because they'll be right back. We had so many pine trees. But when I think about that, when I think about how he says that it'll be given, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, I think about when sometimes I would put pine straws in the bag, and the bag would look like it was full, but sometime I would have to press it and shake it. Oh, come on and say amen. And I can get some more in the bag. What I'm trying to tell you is that sometime when you go through, when you sacrifice, God is only trying to press and shake so that he can give you more and keep putting more and keep putting more. Come on and say amen here. Oh, Lord, I ain't going to preach too much harder, so you might as well get with it now. Hallelujah. He says, look, he said, we ought to make a sacrifice. Now, what we got to understand that in a sacrifice, Romans 12:1 tells us, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, that you may, he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know that good and that perfect and acceptable will of God, so that I can follow God, so that I can do what God wants me to do. It's my reasonable service to be able to serve God, to sacrifice to him. I need to learn how to sacrifice, because when I sacrifice, then God recognizes my sacrifice. Do you know that God would not forgive sins in the Old Testament until he saw a sacrifice? He would not give them mercy until he saw a sacrifice that God some time didn't move until he saw a sacrifice. You've been wanting God to move in your life. Now question yourself and see what you gave up. Question and see what you've sacrificed. Have you made any sacrifices in your life that would get God's attention? Even when they wanted God just to show God how much they loved him, they had to give him a sacrifice, an offering, a free will offering, and God will accept it by licking it up with fire. What I'm trying to tell you here is if you want the presence of God in your life, you need to learn how to sacrifice. You need to learn how to make yourself get to a place where you say, it's not about me, but it's all about God. Do I have any witnesses here that say, I'm willing to sacrifice? I'm not willing to exchange my life and give my life to the devil. I'm not going to dance with the devil. I'm not going to pat a cake with the devil. I'm not going to shoot marbles with the devil. I'm not going to do anything with the devil. But what I'm going to do is what I'm going to do with God. I'm going to present my body a living sacrifice. See, God don't want dead stuff. He don't want something not living. I wish I had somebody. Sometimes I go to churches. I say, wow, is there anything living in here? We might need to call Winfield because they got a whole bunch of dead folks. Oh, come on and say amen. I want you to see something here. God wants what's alive. He don't want nothing dead. Would you eat something that died of itself? No, you wouldn't. Oh, come on and say amen here. You want to make sure, even when you eat crawfish, you got all these crawfish eaters in here. You can tell when that crawfish died of itself because the tail won't curl up and you won't eat it because you know it ain't no good. Oh, come on and say amen. So you throw that one away. So what do you think about God? I want something that was living. Do I have any witnesses here? I believe I found something you like. Oh, come on and say amen here. But when I look at what he says, we need to learn how to sacrifice. But then at the end he says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father. And he said, and with his angels, then he shall reward every man according to his works. What are you saying now? I found in that scripture, I found that after my sacrifice, that I get salvation. What do you think God's gift is to you? His gift is salvation. It's the gift of life to be able to live again. You see, if you died today and you don't have Christ, you got to die one more time. But if you got Christ and you die today, that's the last time death will see you, because you'll live forever. He said he has his reward. He's going to give you a reward. The reward is eternal life. He said in Revelations, he said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward, I'm bringing it with me. So when Jesus comes, he's coming to give you a reward for being able to follow him. I followed you, Lord, through many dangers, snares, and toils. I followed you, Lord, when they lied on me. I stayed with you. When they talked about me, I stayed with you. I became a real Christian by what I went through. You see, if you don't go through nothing, you can't test your faith. If your faith not tested, then it ain't faith at all. See, your faith has to be tested. Will you still believe in him? Will you still trust him when you can't trace him, with tears in your eyes? Will you still say, Lord, it's for you I live and for you I die? Do I have anybody that say, I'm committed to follow the Lord? I follow you, Lord, come hell or high water, because I realize that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you, oh God, will deliver them from them all. I'm following you, Lord, because I remember what your words say about the weapons. Even though they come and prosper, they won't prosper. Even though they come against me, they won't prosper. I remember what you said in Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies, do you have any enemies, came to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host arises, the war arises, I shall not fear. Oh, come on and say yes. Do I have anybody that say, I want salvation? Now, how did salvation come? It came through a sacrifice. So you got to follow him. You got to take up your cross. Jesus took up a cross, went up a hill called Golgotha. The Via Dolorosa, went through 14 stations of the cross. He fell down. Simon of Cyrene picked up the cross. They wrote a song about it. Say, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? There is a cross for everyone. And I know there's a cross for you and me. Do I have any witnesses? Say yes. But when Jesus got there, he said, no man can take my life. I lay it down. Greater love had no man than this, than a man will lay down his life for his friends. You are a friend of God. You are a friend of God. He died. Do I have anybody? We got to be real Christians. While he was on the cross, he looked at the ones that put nails in his hand. He looked at the ones that whipped him all night long with a cat and nine tail whip, that ripped the skin from his body, that put a crown of thorns on top of his head, that slapped him, pulled his beard out, and blindfolded him, and said, guess who it is? He looked at all of them, and he said to them, he said, that's all right. And he looked up to heaven and said, Father, do I have anybody? Say, I'm a real Christian. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When they do you bad, they don't know what they're doing. When they do you wrong, they don't know what they're doing. When the devil attacks you, he just messed up. He didn't know what he was doing. Come on and say yes. Say yes. Do I have a witness that whenever it happened, they didn't know what they were doing? Because when I died, when he died on the cross, they thought that was it. They high-fived each other. Then we make a mockery of him. Got him naked on the cross. Pierced him in the side. But he died to a centurion soldier. Started to preach and said, surely, surely do I have anybody. Even the ones who do you wrong will turn around and say, you know what, this person, they must be a child of God. I pierced him in his side. I whipped him all night, and all he can do is forgive me. He must be a child of the Most High God. Do I have any witnesses? Say yeah. But you know, he died till the sun refused to shine. The sun said, I can't participate in this. I got to get out of here. This is just too much for me to watch the Son of God die. But he didn't stay dead. They said he needed a tomb, so he borrowed one just for the weekend. Joseph gave him a tomb because Joseph needed it back. And he said, early. They say early. That's the church word, early. Early. Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Anybody know power? Say yes. He gave us power to become sons of God. He gave us power to follow him. He gave us power to become real Christians. Do I have a witness? Come on and say yes. Say yes. Won't he empower you? Won't he bless you? I say, won't he? Anybody know it? That he'll do it for you? Say yes. Won't he bless you? Won't he heal your body? But let me tell you a story. You've heard it before. Somebody may not have heard it. But there was an old man who had only one son. And his son had died when he went off to war. The old man was a widower. And he didn't have no family. Come on and say yes. But the old man said, I'm about to die. And so he had an estate, and he got a lawyer. He said he put a clause in it. And then when they went to have an auction of his estate, he said, here it is. The auctioneer, he sent out letters to everybody. This man was really rich. He was well known, and people all across the world, they flew in to see what they can get from his estate. They flew in from Israel. They flew in from Saudi. They flew in from Germany. But here they were, ready for the bid on this man's estate. The man came out. The auctioneer came out. And he hit the gavel. He said, now open it up for bid. The first item for bid is a picture of the dead man's son. He had a big picture painted of his son. And then he said, the auctioneer said, he said, I have a bid. There was an old lady who worked all her life for the old man who loved the son. And she got up. He said, do I have a bid for $1? She got up with $1. He said, anybody else? Going once, going twice. And he said, sold to the lady right here. She gave $1. He hit the gavel and said, the auction is over. They said, what are you talking about? I came a long way to see what I can get from him. He got some Picasso in there. He got some Michelangelo in there. I want to get it. And the man said, look, let me tell you what happened. He said, the old man had a clause. He said, whoever gets the son gets the whole estate. So what I'm trying to tell you is that if you can get the son, you can get what you need. If you can get the son, you already got it all. Say yes. Say yes. I know he's all right. Anybody know he's all right? I say, have you tried him? Do you know he's able? Do you have the son? Do you have the son? I got the whole estate. Won't he bless you? Say yes. I may not know three things. I may not even know two things. But one thing I know is that I know he's all right? Do you know he's all right? I said, if you know he's all right, you ought to tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I may not know a whole lot, but one thing I know is I know he's all right. Ain't the Lord all right? I say, ain't the Lord all right? Won't he bless you? Won't he give you joy in the midst of sorrow? Won't God be with you? Won't he be a heart fixer and a mind regulator? Won't he? Yeah. Come on and say yeah. Say yes. I feel pretty good now. Come on and preach with me. I say, won't God bless you? Do you have any moments? I had somebody hit me up on Facebook and say, Pastor, won't he? I immediately knew what they were saying. They say, God bless them. Won't he do it? Come on and say, yeah. I like to ask this question every now and then. I like to ask the people that won't he? And do you have any won't he moments? Oh, come on and say yes. As I look back over my life and I look at where I come from, it makes me say, won't he? When I came from 10 children, not having my own bed, we were in a 3-bed house. Come on and say yeah. When I look at what God has done, I say, won't he? When I look at hanging clothes on the line, and I got a dry and a wash up in my own house, I say, won't he? When I look at how we took a bath, sometime in dishwashing liquid, sometime in washing powder, but I look back over my life, and I say, won't he? Won't he? Say yes. I look back over my life when all my friends were riding and I'm still riding a bicycle. I say, won't he? Say yes. Anybody here have some won't he moments? I look back over my life and I look at what people took me through, how I tried to help them and they turned around and hurt me. And I looked at what God did after they did what they hurt me. God turned around and healed me. And I say, won't he? So let me sum it up. Every time I turn around, the Lord, anybody know the Lord, keeps on blessing me. Say yeah, say yeah, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm done now, but I want to ask you a question one last time. And if you got some moments, I wish you would stand on your feet and say, won't he with me? I got some moments in my life, but won't he? I looked at my family. Somebody say yes. And I looked at what we've been through, but God's still keeping us. Mama's gone, but we still love each other. Won't he? I look over my life and say, look at where I've been. And when I took a job and then I said I had nowhere to go, I quit that job. And God called me the same day and said, I got something else for you. Won't he? And the something else he gave me is so much greater than what I left. If you have faith, won't he? Say yes. I look at my life. I remember just last year, around Christmas Eve, couldn't be with my family. I was over at the hospital, sitting there with an IV in my arm. But this Christmas time, I was with my family. I said, won't he? Anybody here? I say, anybody here? I don't know how you feel about him, but I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? Let him talk about you, but he's all right. Let him lie on you, but he's all right. Let the devil attack your body, but he's still all right. Let him crucify you, but he's all right. Say he's all right. Say yeah. Say yeah. I know he's all right. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm trying to quit here. But when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out. They said I wouldn't make it. They said I wouldn't be here today. But I'm here to tell you that God made a way, that God opened up doors that was closed in my face.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office